I walk around all day in my shop doing this, which is trying to get folks to play nicely together, to get the public health folks and the medical care folks to play nicely together, the mental health folks and the physical health folks to play nicely together, the community development folks and the health people to play nicely together. It's really all about finding those harmonies to get to the best possible outcomes and really managing the in-betweens. Here's the way I think about it. As an example, to prevent complications of obesity and diabetes, all you have to do is modify a person's health beliefs and attitudes, daily habits, eating preferences, daily activities, exercise habits, grocery store, neighborhood walkability, food advertising, self-care, employability, economic environment, access to medical care, clinical and nutritional provider, quality of medication, adherence. I used to be able to do that in one breath. All in the context of his or her family and social relationships. So, who here wants to do that all by themselves? We also have a tendency to dichotomize, and so some of my colleagues in public health will talk about we need to do prevention, not sick care, or as Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, or the other Dr. Benjamin, we need to move from sick care to health. But there is this tendency to dichotomize and to be splitters rather than lumpers, and so we're going to consciously, aggressively say, don't do that. We're also talking about social determinants so much these days that there may be a tendency to downplay the role of the healthcare system. And again, a way of saying we need to move upstream, as if moving away from one thing will get you to a better place. And so again, I do this. Primary care is still in the mix. WHO still thinks we're important. I feel affirmed. One of the research projects that I undertook a little while ago was along this line of saying, you know, everybody says medical care doesn't have anything to do with health outcomes. Is that really true? And so I said, well, let's look at this. Instead of looking backwards at risk factors and determinants, let's look at what are the success stories in America's health over the past 50 years. For what leading causes of death did the U.S. achieve a successful reduction in mortality, meaning a greater than 50% reduction in 50 years? And we declared that a priori, so we didn't know how it was going to come out. And we asked what accounted for the success in most of these conditions. 9 conditions met those criteria for leading causes of death with at least a 50% reduction in mortality in the last 50 years. Some that you may not have remembered, syphilis being on the list, for example. Others that you might think were pretty obvious, heart disease and stroke. What accounted for those successes? We found that 7 of the 9 conditions, you could clearly find evidence that it was both public health and medical care, that you couldn't have done it without both. And that, in fact, there was a third element, which is innovation. So Dr. Papanicolaou invented the pap smear, and the innovation then was diffused through the dual channels of public health, but delivered often on a day-to-day basis through the medical care system. Abnormal paps then get followed up in a more advanced part of the medical care system, or at least a more secondary or tertiary part of the medical system. But all of these conditions ended up with 50% reductions in mortality. They're all success stories in America's health. And 7 of the 9 required public health and medical care to work at least in parallel, not always in partnership. Someday we'll get to that. So I like to see prevention not as primary versus medical care, but rather primary, secondary, tertiary, all in a continuum. And there's some pretty good quantitative evidence for this, for example, in cardiovascular outcomes. I refer you to that article by Hunnick et al., as well as one in the UK. One last point I'll make about this is that when we see these success stories, the areas where we have the most rapid improvements in America's health are also the areas where we're at risk for unequal diffusion of the life-saving innovations, and we end up with increasing disparities rather than decreasing disparities. And that's not the same in every community. We published this year on cancer inequities and the trends over the past 20 years, and showing that some communities have actually achieved equality and sustained it for 20 years, and others have converged on equality, starting from high disparities, while the majority of the country has persistent inequalities or even diverging, worsening inequalities. So we got a lot of work to do. It takes a lot of folks working at a lot of different levels to triangulate on health equity, on optimal and equitable health outcomes for all, never leaving out the community with whom we work in partnership. this level of integration that our panelists are going to speak to today. And so it's my privilege to introduce our panelists today. Kathy Canatelli is the Director of Community Health and Preventive Medicine in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at Christiana Healthcare System. I'm not going to give you long bios because each of these individuals is just so impressive that it would take a long time, but she oversees 15 school-based health centers, other public health programs. Soon-to-be Dr. Danny Lazar is a PhD candidate in public policy at the University of Illinois Chicago. She's Director of Research in the Center for Discovery and Learning at Access Community Health Network and has over 20 years experience in community health and nonprofits. Dr. Ayanna Buckner is a special friend for whom I worked at Morehouse School of Medicine when she was running the Hurricane Katrina Response Center, Regional Coordinating Center, and also taught in the Department of Community Health and Preventive Medicine there. And finally, Dr. Robert Moser is a family physician and public health specialist with years of practice experience in rural public health, now president-elect of the Kansas Public Health Association and a family physician, and currently executive director of the Kansas Heart and Stroke Collaborative for the University of Kansas Hospital. So with that, I will ask you to welcome our panelists, and Kathy, if you would like to...